This is the very reason why I think that living in love is not only for married couples. I'm going to tell you, even if you have gone through a divorce, two divorces, three divorces, or perhaps you have never married and can't even imagine ever wanting to, people need to know that relationships like this exist. What you two are sharing in the book, to me, it speaks straight into the life of a couple, but it would also speak straight into the life of the individual. It talks about tenacity in relationship seeing something to a place of mending, what God can do to change lives so that we can be rich in relationship, that every crisis does not have to lead to a death of some kind. So many people out there that I've met that have grown to love you two on this program, seen you over and over again, speak of you not only as sister and brother, but they look at you as also a father figure and a mother figure. There's a security that comes to us when we read about a couple that has made it, that they've done the hard thing, that they've stuck it out, and they've always recommitted to love, not just to a lasting marriage on paper. I want to say that over and over because that's what you guys have defied. There are a lot of people that just, my parents lived to be married 54 years, but they did not retain the kind of closeness. They did not let themselves be restored back to the place to truly live in love. So I want to say that it's not only the married couple. Yes, it's about a couple's love, but it could speak health and healing into every single's life, into someone that's gone through a dramatic loss of a relationship. It has so much to say. There's not a person out there that would not receive from reading this book. Okay, right here.
What do you do with three people who talk that much?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I like my tongue.
I see that hand.
Well, one of the things I like to say, I had a fraternity brother, and he went, "Keith, don't let her change you." It's like, man, if there was somebody who needed to change, it was me. And then, especially in your early years in a marriage, there's that, who's going to be the boss? And it's like, it's going to be me. And to her, it was going to be her. And you just kind of, it's like it's like a cow and a bull running into each other. And you just knock each other down and bruise each other and bloody each other. And finally, you know, there's crying and all that. And finally, I personally got to the point where I went, I can't beat her. She's my dang stand-up equal. And I don't want to hurt her anymore. You have to get to the point where in those struggles, which are honest struggles.
Yes.
They were real. Mm-hmm. And we were fighting them with as much integrity as we knew how. But you have to get to the point where you don't want to hurt the other one. And you've got to do that honestly. And I think that's what a lot of people, Beth and I have talked about it before, you can either stand there and fight it out honestly with the one you married first, or the second one, or the third one. It's the same fight. You're going to take it to the next
one.
That's
so good, honey.
Plus the scars from the first one.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was my little part.
That was so good, baby. There's a hill you got to get over. You know, there's a hump. And if we keep quitting, we're just going to do it over and over and over again.
Do you ever get the impression God is, don't forget what you're about to say, that God is looking down at us, and he kind of gets tickled and just looking at us? I mean, I really believe it does. Yes. I hear him pretty good. Now, you're a Bible teacher, too, and you're a Baptist Bible teacher. Do you think people can hear God, or they just have to read the book?
Oh, I believe we can hear God all right.
He likes to talk to his
kids.
Oh,
he does talk. Okay. So he still talks to his children.
He just told me what he was doing looking down here. And he said, if that's not the four least likely people you ever saw
before. The truth.
You know what he said? He said, if anybody doubts how big I am, just look at the four of
them.
He is big. You agree? He is big
enough. We've been so much worse than we feel free to tell you. Isn't that the truth?
And we got as big a problem as anybody watching us on TV all over the world. He's bigger. He's bigger. And he is. Listen to me. When we talk about the challenges that we face in life, we deal very, very openly. One of the things that excites me in the book, Betty, is that people who say Betty doesn't talk very much, they get to hear you all the way through the book, pouring her heart out. And I can get very excited about telling you, you're going to be very blessed to hear what Betty has to say. You know, when I asked Beth, do you believe you can hear God? She responded so, let's say, in such an affirmative fashion. Mm-hmm. In absolute passion, you can hear God. If we didn't tune in to hear God, don't you think it'd be more difficult for us to hear each other clearly?
Absolutely. In fact, I think that's where we have to start in our relationship. you know, that relationship with him and being able to allow him to speak to us through his word and through time with him and growing in him. But it doesn't always start off that way in a marriage relationship. So we have to learn some things along the way.
Well, we
learn to listen.
We learn to listen. We learn to hear one another. And believe it or not, we can hear God in our journey and he can direct our steps. Beth Moore has told us, and this is Wednesdays with Beth, that what you're about to hear related to hearing God is the most requested experience that she has ever shared. She said if she goes anywhere and people say, Beth, tell a story. Please tell us, tell everybody that. This is the story Beth tells. And you talk about hearing God clearly. By the way, you must hear one another in the relationship. That's what Betty and I are trying to help you do, living in love. I pray to God for the benefit and blessing of your marriage, you'll get it. But I want you to know you're going to discover very clearly you can hear him. Listen to Beth.
I want to tell you a story that I told many, many years ago that remains dear to me, particularly because people bring it back up to me over and over again. It's probably the thing I've been asked about as much as anything regarding stories and Bible studies along the years. But it's such a statement in my own life and such a memory of God overtaking me and enabling me to do something I couldn't do. You have no idea how dangerous you would be if you would live filled to the measure with the fullness of Christ. I was headed off to the east side of the country to Asheville, North Carolina to speak. So I was having to go to a part of the airport that was just one large room where you went off into several different halls down to the smaller plane. So it was for a small airport in a small part of the terminal. It was packed, absolutely packed. And our chairs were all facing one another. And suddenly I see that the eyes of all the people against the wall are watching something behind me. And it was like a movie because all of their eyes shifted this way, this big around, and they began to come this way. Whatever it was going right behind me. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I were looking. Are you like that? I'm a people watcher. I was so desperately thought, what are they looking at? And I can't wait to look for myself until it comes all the way around here. And then suddenly in my peripheral vision, I begin to see a little of it. And it is a flight hostess that is pushing up a man in a wheelchair right to the end of my row. And there's nobody between us. And this place is packed. So I want you to know that Jesus went to a significant amount of trouble to make sure that I saw this man. So I wait until everybody else gets more polite, and then I go. And when I look over at him, he was the oddest sight. He looked like he was not one iota less than about 129, and I'm not kidding. This was the oldest looking person I had ever seen. Not only that, but he had gray hair that was down to here. His fingernails were every bit as long as mine. He was clean, but it's just an odd sight. His pants, it looked like that he had obviously lost a lot of weight because they were just bunched up. I'll never forget how he looked, and he was just, his head was just hanging down like this, and his hair was in strings like this, huh? This is how much God thinks of us just memorizing scripture but not doing anything with it. Because the Lord begins to compel my heart, overwhelms me. Well, I have learned, I've walked with him a long time. I knew by now, that is scary. That God is up to something when he is overwhelming your heart like that. And I just thought, oh, please, God, no. Oh, please. Please, God, no. Because I'm already knowing he wants me to witness to this man. And so I say to myself in my spirit, now I'm not talking out loud, but in my spirit, I'm talking to God silently, and I'm saying, I'm sure my mouth is going... Because I say to him, do not make me witness to that man. And now I'm going to tell you, as clear as I'm talking to you now, the Lord spoke to my heart. The very few times I've ever heard God be this articulate with me. And I'm telling you word for word, these words came into my heart. I'm not asking you to witness to him. I'm asking you to brush his hair. Lord, that man needs witnessing to. Good. It's combed hair. If a man is lost, and I can tell, Lord, that man, I am your witness. I am your witness. I am your witness. I am your girl. Me. I got the Roman road, amen? Still, in my heart, I mean, we are just having a fight. I didn't tell you to witness to him. I told you to brush his hair. I thought, I don't have a hairbrush. You know, I fix my hair. And then it's done for the day until I unfix it. And the brush is in the luggage. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I said, I don't even have a hairbrush. And the Lord's still compelling me. So I get up, walk over, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't even have a hairbrush. You know, I was supposed to be thoroughly equipped unto all good work. I do not have a hairbrush. I walk over, I get right in front of the man. His head's hanging down like this. I lean down like this. I said, sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair? And he says, what? A little louder. Sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair? He goes, little lady, if you want me to hear you, you're going to have to speak up. Sir, may I have the privilege of brushing your hair? To which everyone in the airport goes, whoa. And I can feel every eye just piercing me just like this. And I'm just humiliated. And he looks at me and says, if you want to. And I'm going, I don't. I don't want to. I went, yes, sir, I would absolutely love to. But my problem is, I don't have a hairbrush. He says, I have a hairbrush. He said, it's back in my bag. So I go all the way around the wheelchair. His bag is on the back of it like this. I get down on my knees. I unzip this little duffel bag, and I start pulling out his clean undershirts, his pair of pajamas, all sorts of things. And as I do, I cannot tell you the feeling that overwhelms me. I'm just flooded with the love of Christ. I found the hairbrush. It's one of those real old bristle ones. Doesn't look anything like our brushes do now. And when I stood up, I began then. I went over to him, and I thought, you know, to tell you the truth, this is what I'm good at. I had two girls. I'm good at this. So I just came and I just began to brush his hair, and it was so matted that I couldn't even believe it. And so I had to get down to the very bottom of it, and I just brushed the very ends of it. And then just a little bit, it took us forever. And I want to tell you, I was oblivious to everybody else in that room. At that point, nobody else was alive to me. I just kept brushing and kept brushing until that hair was as smooth as silk. I went back around to him and squatted down in front of him, put my hands on his hands. They were on his knees. His head was just like that. And I said, sir, do you know Jesus? And he said, yes, I do. I said, well, of course you do. That figures. I wanted to share the gospel with you. But no, you need your hair brushed. And he told me that his old bride of so many years would not marry him until he came to know Christ. And he said, I was just sitting here thinking to myself, and he wept. I'm about to cry telling you. He said, I was just sitting here thinking what a mess I must be for my bride. He'd been in that hospital for months, and he was about to return back home. Nobody had cut his hair or anything. I don't know how long it had been since he'd been brushed. That hostess came and put him on the plane, and she came back out. And she was crying, I mean hard. And she said, what made you do that? And I said, Jesus, he's the bossiest thing. She did need Christ, so I did get to talk to her. He knows what our need is. Man didn't need witnessing to, he needed his hair brushed. When we are filled to the measure with the fullness of Christ, you sweet thing. You cannot believe the needs we can meet. We can do what we know we can. And while you're doing it, you're just thinking, that ain't me. That really ain't me. No. It's God.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.